Sarva Shastra Dipyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhantaratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Trikfada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Shrimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kalidwan Uditaditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita, Paramananda Partaya, Prema Varshakshadayati, Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya, Shri Krishnaya Namostume, Mariko Bandha Matsangin, Madguru Madmahadana, Madnistadaka Madbhagya, Madananda Namostute, Asadhu Sadhutadayin, Atinicho Chatakara, Hama Muncha Kadachin Ma Prem Narit Kantayok Smura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Which verse?
One.
Okay.
Chapter 18, the battle between Lord Boar and the demon Hiranyaksha. Text 1. Maitreya Uvacha Tadevam akarnya jalesha bhashitam Mahamanastad viganaya durmadaha Hareer viditva gatim anganaradad Rasar talam nir vivishe twaran vitaha Maitreya uvacha Tadevam akarnya jalesha bhashitam Mahamanastad viganaya durmadaha Hareer viditva gati manga naradad Rasatalam nirvivishe twaran vitaha Maitreya The great sage Maitreya Uvacha said Tat that evam thus akarnya hearing jalaisha of the controller of water Varuna bashitam words mahamanaha proud Tat, those words, Viganaya, having paid little heed to, Durmadaha, vainglorious, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Viditva, having learned, Gatim, the whereabouts Anga O dear Vidura Naradat from Narada Rasatala to the depths of the ocean Nirvivishe entered Twara Anvitaha with great speed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya continued, the proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura, he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. Purport. Materialistic warmongers are not even afraid to fight with their mightiest enemy, the Personality of Godhead. The demon was very encouraged to learn from Varuna that there was one fighter who could actually combat him. And he was very enthusiastic to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to give him a fight. Even though it was predicted by Varuna that by fighting with Vishnu, he would become prey for dogs, jackals, and vultures. Since demoniac persons are less intelligent, they dare to fight with Vishnu, who is known as Ajita, or one who has never been conquered. Even though Jayavijay are Vaikuntha associates of the Supreme Lord Narayan, and thus they're pure devotees, they should be free from all imperfection. But by the curse of the Kumaras, they became infected by this Asura Bhava, mentality of demons. Any living entity can fall down. Any jiva can fall down. We all were in the spiritual world, and we fell down. We are proof of it, that someone can fall down from Vaikuntha, because we did. At least according to Prabhupada's teachings. Let others disagree, but this is Prabhupada's teaching. We were with Krishna, and we will go back to Krishna. Anyway, I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying it. If you don't believe it, if you don't agree with me, then that's a different discussion. So being infected with this Asura Bhava, Hiranyaksha, although he was originally a pure devotee, his intelligence was completely confounded. He could not remember his Lord. He cannot remember his relationship with the Supreme Lord. What does it mean to be a resident of Vaikuntha? It's not that they have some civic pride, that they're proud, oh, we're Vaikuntha Wallas, and everybody else is, every other place is worse. People are proud of the city they live in. I remember I visited Dnipropetrovsk, one of the biggest cities in Ukraine. And it's because of the economy is very bad in Ukraine. Life there is miserable. And it's a big, dirty city. But they're proud of it. They have a big billboard with a photo of the city. Such a big city, 3 million people. We're so proud of it. And therefore, they are proud of their identification with the place they live. It's like that everywhere. Even the most crummy, the most dirty, small place, people are proud of being a resident there. But it's not that people in Vaikuntha are just proud because we're residents of a better place where we have more opulence and we can fly around in our airplanes and do whatever we want. No. The mentality of the Vaikuntha devotees is that we are servants of Lord Narayan. We're so fortunate. We'll do anything to please Lord Narayan. That's our whole life. That is the attitude of a Vaikunthavasi. So, this is the effect of the curse of a powerful Brahmin, that the pure devotee can even forget that and fall down into the material consciousness. It's not the physical fall, not that they, were pushed down the stairs, Jayan Vijay. And therefore, it's not the physical fall that's important. It's the fall of their consciousness. It's because of their consciousness fall that they came into the material world. We even see that literally in the description. That after Lord Narayan refused to revoke the curse of the Kumaras, then, and he assured his servants, Jayan Vijay, that they would come back to him soon. Still, they became very depressed. They became unhappy. And that was their fall down. They lost the Vaikuntha consciousness. And even before they physically fell down, their intelligence, their consciousness fell down. Nobody in Vaikuntha is in anxiety, but they became full of anxiety. So immediately, they were gone. Immediately they entered the material world. But because of the fallen consciousness. And the symptom of it is that this same person, now in the body of Hiranyakashipu, cannot remember what was the center of his life before, his relationship of service to Lord Narayan. When you enter material consciousness and you're surrounded by all the things that reflect that consciousness, your body, your environment, your family, your society, your education, all these things tell you, give you false signals. They tell you, your family, your education, your body tell you that you're the enjoyer. You're the controller. Everything is for your exploitation, including your loved ones. You can call it love, but it's just mutual exploitation. So a person in material consciousness just wants to use everything for his advancement, as if he was God. So material consciousness, although there are different degrees of it, it's all demoniac consciousness. It's all asura bhava. The consciousness of anybody living in material life. And it happens that the material world is where they put all such people. It's not that the prison house is a place, if you walk in the door, you become a criminal automatically by some magic spell. This is a horrible place. You walk through the fence and you become a criminal. No, you don't become a criminal by entering the prison. I can visit the prison. The governor of the state can visit the prison. He doesn't become a criminal, by visiting the prison. So it's not that coming to the prison makes you a criminal. The other way around. The prison is just the place where they put the criminals. And then, so it happens that everybody in there is a criminal. All the except for the guards. And they're also criminals. So the material world, it's not that because we came to the material world, we became materialistic. The other way around. Because we rebelled against Krishna, therefore we're all put in the same place, material world. So, this is the symptom of his fall. Hiranyakashipu cannot remember his relationship with Lord Narayan, that he's Narayan's servant. Now he's the foolish Hiranyaksha. Maybe not as envious as Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had a real problem with envy. Hiranyaksha was just a stupid demon. You know, he had a fight with somebody. He's not thinking. Like Hiranyakashipu was a big thinker. Oh, this Vishnu killed my brother. You know, and he always hated Vishnu for that. But Hiranyaksha, nobody killed his brother yet. He just wants a fight with somebody. Just a stupid demon. But see how unfortunate he is. He has no concept anymore of the Lord of his life. And when Narada tells him, there is one person who you can fight with, who will give you a good fight. Varuna refused to fight with you, everybody else ran away. But I know one person you can fight with. And that's all that Hiranyaksha was interested in. Oh, somebody I can fight with, who will give me a good fight. And he's called the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever that is. That's all he was interested in. In exploitation. He wanted to enjoy, like a child wants to play some game. And all he wants is someone to play the game with. Yeah. He wants his father to give him 25, you know, 1 rupee so he can go play some video game. That's all. He wants just to use everybody, including his parents, just for his childish play. So this foolish, childish Hiranyaksha, even the Supreme Lord means nothing to him, but someone he can fight with. That is the asura bhava. Is that we cannot imagine that there's something or somebody that's beyond the scope of our exploitation. Therefore, materialists come to the holy Dham. They come to a place like Govardhan. And they should not remain too long. Vrindavan is special. Vrindavan city. People can build their houses there. They can come and live for 15, 20 years. Vrindavan is very tolerant. Everyone can come. It's open. But Govardhan is not open like that. You come, do your pratikrama, and leave. Yeah. We won't give you, Giriraj doesn't give facility for the materialists. Maybe this will change. Maybe they'll start building their facilities. But for now, they don't want to stay more than 2 or 3 days. They're gone. They do their pratikrama and they're gone. Because the mentality, the material mentality, is one of exploitation. You want to exploit everything and everybody, including God, including Giriraj. You come here, do your puja because you want some punya. You want to get a son. You want to get money. You want to do something. Even want to. I saw this one party of angry Hindus. They wanted to, destroy all the Muslims, and they were doing a puja to Giriraj to destroy the Muslims. Yeah, we're going to, attack all the mosques, burn them down, and we want Giriraj's blessings to do this. Yeah. But this is abusing God. This is using. You think everything is meant for your enjoyment. So the materialist comes here. Where's the shopping mall? I came here for vacation. Where can I go shopping to buy something to enjoy? There's no fancy restaurants, no fancy stores, nothing. Nothing for enjoyment. But that's the holy Dham. That's the spiritual world. It's not meant for your exploitation. It's full of all the greatest opulences. But because it doesn't say, it doesn't. You don't see the signs. Here it's a shopping mall. If you don't see a shopping mall, you think there's no opulence. This is our material. Unless there's a place to go, a dukan, where you can buy something, pay money and get something, you think there's no opulence. And therefore, materialists come here to the holy Dham, and they think it's just a desert, and then Giriraj is just a pile of rocks. Because all they can, if they don't see, a sign saying McDonald's, they think there's no enjoyment. McDonald's, this place with the hamburgers. And that's the consciousness that Hiranyaksha is in. Even though he's a pure devotee can be dragged down to that level. If he's influenced, if he's cursed, if he gets the curse of the devotees on his head, then even another devotee will fall down. And fall down into this consciousness. Everything is meant for my enjoyment, and therefore I cannot understand what is God and what are the devotees of God. Who was that Rupa Kaviraj? Generally, we don't have so much practice of what we call in the Christian church excommunication, where they kick someone out of the church. So in the Catholic church they have this. Someone disobeys or commits some heresy, that means he goes against the teachings of the church. Then the Pope or some archbishop says, you are anathema. You go to hell forever, and you'll never get the mercy of the devotees, of the servants of God. We kick you out completely from the church. So this is not so much a Vaishnava practice. Someone falls down, we try to help them. Because what other hope do they have but to serve Krishna? How can we tell someone, you can never serve Krishna? You're not disqualified from ever serving Krishna, ever associating with Vaishnavas. Sometimes someone becomes so offensive and so crazy, we have to not let him inside the temple. Chokidar cannot let him in. He's too crazy. But we're not telling him, you can't serve Krishna. You must go to hell. We never say that to anybody. But sometimes someone becomes so offensive, he has to be excluded from the association of Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas have to stay away from him. So this happened in a few cases, even in the early years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This one very great pundit, who was also a Vaishnav, I don't know whose disciple he was, Rupa Kaviraj. And I don't know the exact story. Who was the lady? He was attending one Bhagavatam. He was a great Bhagavatam reciter himself, big speaker of Bhagavatam. And he came to a class where one lady devotee, ladies were also giving classes sometimes. Yeah. Not that everyone had to come. If you don't want to listen to a lady, you don't have to. But sometimes the ladies were speaking, and those who were interested to hear, they can come. So one Vaishnavi was giving Bhagavatam class. I'm sorry. No, it's not true. That's not the story. The story is he was giving the class, and she was in the class. I'm sorry. Okay, sometimes they were giving. Ladies were giving sometimes. But anyway, she was sitting in the class. He was giving the class, Bhagavatam class. So the Bhagavatam is very serious. If the speaker sees that someone is not paying attention, he can chastise that person. Come on, this is Bhagavatam class. Just like everyone listened to Shukadev's words with great attention, never no deviation, you should also be serious and listen. You know? Otherwise, go outside. So the speaker can chastise like that. And he saw that this Mataji, who was actually a very great devotee, she was chanting her japa during the class. Maybe her hand wasn't in the bag, but she couldn't stop chanting. Her tongue was moving, and she was muttering, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, during the class. The fact was that she was so attached to chanting, she could never stop. She just couldn't do it. Such a great devotee. But he chastised her in front of everybody. He says, why are you chanting during the class? Can't you pay attention? So normally the speaker can do this. But the problem is he was proud. He was not free from that material pride. And that was his disqualification. And he committed aparadha against a great devotee by insulting her in front of everybody and telling her not to chant Hare Krishna. And he fell down. He became a nonsense offender, a Mayavadi. And the devotees, I think headed by Jiva Goswami, had to reject him from the society of Vaishnavas. They had to tell everybody. I think it was Jiva Goswami made an announcement that this Rupa Kaviraj, we cannot associate with him. No Vaishnava should talk to him. So sometimes this happens once in a while, in a very serious case. Although generally it's not the Vaishnava practice to kick someone out completely, to give someone no hope. But this is what can happen. Even an advanced devotee can fall down because of aparads. It's a very serious, dangerous thing. The demoniac spirit is the power of Maya. It can infect anybody. We should not think that we're immune, that we can never fall down. One who is actually very advanced, he's praying to Krishna that I'm very weak. Even though he's strong, he's saying to Krishna, I'm weak, please don't let Maya drag me down. And because of that helpless attitude, therefore he's protected. Because he's never proud, never satisfied, or overconfident that Maya will never attack him. He's terrified of Maya, therefore he's protected. That's our only, otherwise we're in danger of being infected by that demoniac spirit which controls the whole material world. The spirit that we're the controller, we're the enjoyer, and if God is there, he only exists as another thing for me to exploit. Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this. They said, how can we pray? How should we pray? They asked him. And he said, pray, oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, some other things too, like forgive our the bad things we do, and we should forgive other people. That's good, but this part is a little funny. Give us the day our daily bread. Is that God's business? He has to get up, at 2 o'clock in the morning to cook bread for everybody. That's using God for your material purposes, and that's what materialists want to do. They have an idea of God, but God just exists to further their material life. They have no idea of liberation, or they're not interested at all in liberation. They don't understand that if you actually want to have a relationship with God, first become liberated. First give up your materialism. Then you can talk about relationship with God. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. First of all, become Brahma-bhuta. Then stop this agitation of the mind. Stop looking at people as your friends and enemies. Oh, this person I can use. This person will glorify me. This person will give me money. This person will give me sense gratification. That's a good person. And this other person dares to criticize me, dares to find some fault with me. Therefore, he's my enemy. So this mentality makes it impossible to have a satisfied mind. Then we're always angry and agitated, frustrated, because we're judging everybody, according to how they help, how they give us sense gratification. The person who gives me sense gratification is my friend. The person who interferes with my sense gratification is my enemy. And that's how we judge who's good and who's bad. And therefore, our minds are always disturbed. But we have to become, to have a relationship with God, you must transcend that. You must become prasannatma. The water in the lake is very muddy. It's brown, because it's been stirred up by the rain and the wind, and maybe by the fish inside, or people are throwing rocks in the water, and that makes it muddy. If you leave the water alone, it becomes clear. The mud sinks to the bottom, and the water becomes clear again, if nobody disturbs it. If the wind doesn't disturb it, if people don't throw rocks, if the fish stop jumping around, then the water will become peaceful. That's called prasanna. Yeah. Prasanna jalam, peaceful water. And that means clear. When the water is peaceful, then it's clear. You can see it clearly. It's not brown. When the mind is free from this agitation, love and hate in the material way, attraction, repulsion, agitation, then it becomes peaceful. Then it calms down. These waves of emotions, material emotions, stop. And then you can see things clearly. That is prasannatma. That is possible when one becomes Brahman realized, when one realizes spirit, that I am spirit, not matter. Then, nashochati nakamshati. Then you can stop lamenting and hankering. Mad bhaktim labhate param. And you can achieve devotional service to Krishna. Pure devotional service. Jai Shri Ganesh. But it's not possible otherwise. You can have some religion. You can have some idea of God, but God will just remain a thing that you use. Just like Hiranyakashipu had a religion. His religion was this personality of Godhead is a good person to fight with. Fighting religion. He had an idea of God. That's his theology. The personality of Godhead is my enemy. And either I'm going to kill him or he's going to kill me. It'll be a good fight. That is his theology, his religion. So people have religion, but they don't have any real relationship, any love of God. You must become a pure devotee for that. So don't think that all the religions are the same. If you have a materialistic religion, where you're just using God for your material purposes, that's not the real thing. Call it religion, but there's no love of God there. There cannot be. You want devotion, bhakti, then you must become liberated first. You must give up your materialism. Then you can talk about bhakti. So we don't like to misuse the word bhakti. It applies properly only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's bhakti to some demigod, or deshbhakta, bhakti. These are bogus ideas. Bhakti properly applies love, pure love, loving devotional service, can properly refer only to our relationship with the Supreme Lord and His devotees, not to anybody else or anything else. I love my country and therefore I'm ready to kill my enemies. That's not love. That's just some material idea. Arjuna was ready to kill his enemies because he had pure devotion. That's different. Not because he was a Deshbhakta, but because he was Govinda Bhakta. Therefore, he was also a warrior. He was also getting ready to kill his enemies. But we can say that he was a devotee. We can't say that some ordinary patriot or worshipper of anything other than the Supreme Lord is a devotee. A devotee of what? What kind of devotion? Materialistic. Hare Krishna. So we learn from these stories simple that we don't want to be like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. We want to be like Prahlad and great devotees of their caliber, or at least be devotees. Maybe not great devotees, but at least we should not be demons, we should be devotees. That much at least we should learn from these stories. Simple thing, even a child can understand this. Well, you want to be like Ravana? You can tell a 3-year-old child, and he'll understand. I don't want to be like Ravana. He's a bad man, and he got killed in the end. So I don't want to be like him. But I'd like to be like Hanuman. That I want to be like. Then I can kill all the demons. So even a 3-year-old child can understand that. We should try to understand it. We're grown-ups. We should understand. Our business is not to be demoniac. Not to try to use things with the idea that we're the controller, we're the enjoyer. This is asura bhava. We may not have horns growing out of our heads, but if we're thinking, we may not have horns out of our heads. We're not that kind of demon, obvious demons. But we're letting the demoniac spirit invade our heart as long as we try to exploit this world. Use it for purposes that have nothing to do with Krishna's pleasure. Or cause Krishna pain. We have to give this up and then we can become pure devotees. And satisfy Krishna and actually be happy. Okay, so I'll stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. No? Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.